chapter 4. Appreciate them singing. You know, it's easy to get caught up in life and forget the main things in life, the most important things. Christmas time is another time that it's easy to get so caught up in all the festivities that you forget the main thing. Amen. And it's important that the church, all year long, stays focused upon the main thing. And sometimes we all get sidetracked. And so this morning, I want to share with you a thought about staying focused upon the main thing. Philippians chapter 4, beginning, if you would, read with me in the verse number 12. Now, this is Paul writing to the church of Philippi. Now, does anybody happen to know where he was at when he wrote this? Anybody know where he was at when he wrote the book of Philippians? He happened to be in the Roman jail. He was in prison, in a Roman prison, writing Epaphroditus wrote it as he told him what to write. And of course, he brings it to the Philippian people. And remember that he's in Rome, and he's went to Rome to preach, and he's been cast into prison. Of course, we know that he will die in Rome. His head will be cut off, and he will go be with the Lord. It wasn't easy. Sometimes we meet here, we preach, we hear, and we just take it for granted that it's just a simple thing. It wasn't always easy to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. Even today as we speak, there are people being martyred for preaching the gospel. There's people being persecuted, imprisoned. They have all kinds of complications. So keep this in mind as you remember Paul when he's writing. Now, the church of Philippi was a church that was behind Paul in supporting missions and allowing him to go and preach the gospel in many, many lands. And so here he's writing, reminding them two or three things, how much he appreciates. And there was times when he had plenty, and there's times when he didn't have so much. But he's letting them know how much he appreciates. Sometimes we quote, as a matter of fact, someone this last week told me their favorite verse was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. And we quote that, and sometimes I'll tell some of the young people over at school, they'll say, I can't. I say, oh, yeah, you can do. But really, if you get back to this, Paul's talking about the ability to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. And so there are those that goes and are those that help support those that goes. And so today I want you to keep your mind focused upon this and remember that Paul here, when we get to verse 17, he reminds them that they will share in the fruit of what he's doing. The commission to the church is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, not everybody can go, but we can help support those that goes. And we also have the job of going. The Bible says that when the Holy Spirit of God was going to come, it was going to empower the church to be witness, starting at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Now, you might not go to the othermost parts of the world, but Jerusalem is your home. Every one of us that are saved, we have a responsibility to share the gospel here at home. We have the responsibility to tell other people about Jesus. Now, at Christmas time, once we become saved, we should have a different viewpoint of Jesus. He's not just some baby that came. And it's not some, as a lot of these TV shows, some miracle that just happens out here. It was the greatest miracle of all time. It was a gift of God. And we were giving them away. It come in a very dark time in Israel's history. 400 years, God had not spoke to them until he sent the forerunner of Christ, which was John the Baptist. They were very dark. Sin was glooming. Religion, it had got where it was nothing but dead, formalistic, and it had no power. And Jesus came to the scene, and he came and he provided a remedy for people that was dying in their sins. Matthew 1:21 reminds us that he came that he would save his people from their sins. And he was not just some baby born, as Brother Eric's been teaching. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He was Jehovah God sent down. And so here, when Paul went about preaching the gospel still has the power to save. No one gets saved. We forget this sometimes. No one gets saved without the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We don't need to transform. We do not need to replace the preaching of the gospel. We need to preach it in the church. We need to preach it in our personal lives. When you see people out there having a need, their greatest need is the gospel. The wonderful thing about the gospel, there's not a person ever born that doesn't need the gospel. The gospel is for everybody. We are not of the Calvinistic faith that we believe that there is a particular chosen few that is for. We believe that whosoever will, let him come. And we believe that God saves those that come unto him. Now, saying all that, keep that in mind as we begin reading. Verse number 12. I know both how to be abased and know how to abound. In other words, he said, when I have plenty or when I'm hungry. He says, everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Now Paul here, he's talking about when he was preaching the gospel, that the Philippian church kept him in mind and always was helping support him. And now he also had the ability to make tents and help support himself. But he wants them to know how much he appreciates the fact that they did not lose sight of what was important, the most important thing, getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world. Look in verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. In other words, we're taught through this scripture that when we help support missionaries, we help support men of God that goes out, takes the gospel out, and we support other things that gets the gospel out, then therefore we share in fruit that may be born from that. Look, if you would, in verse number 18. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In other words, conditionally is this. When you give to God and you give to with the main thing in focus, God takes care of what you have needs in life. He has a way of doing that. And I can tell you as a testimony throughout my years, every time that we've had a need, God seemed to come to the rescue and help us through that need. And so I found out that we should be faithful in supporting those who are taking the gospel out. Look on, verse number 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. Now verse 22 is where I'm going to preach from this morning. Now I want you to concentrate on this verse. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, again, we're reminded that the purpose that Jesus came, he had a mission to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why the Bible refers to him as Lord, or as Savior, because he was the Savior of the world. He was the one that can save our soul. We can be accepted by him, we can be delivered by him from our sins, and we can be preserved by him. And so therefore, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is our Savior. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 17, he came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus wants you saved. Now being Christ, he was the anointed one. He was the one that allows us access to God. You was talking about prayer. The only reason you have prayer and you can pray today to God and be able to go is because of two things. One is your mediator, Christ Jesus. And number two, because of his sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, when he died for your sins, the middle wall partition was torn down, and now you can go directly, boldly into the throne of grace. And you can petition God. And you can pray to God. That was made possible through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now the word Lord there, it means our authority. It means our master. And so therefore, he expects obedience from us. And so when we find Jesus Christ, that he was sent, and he was sent to be our remedy for our sinful condition. Now look back here, and let's concentrate just a few moments on verse 22. Now, when you read this, it might not mean much to you. You read this, saint says, say hello, salute you. In verse 22, chiefly, they that are of Caesar's household. Sometimes, we read words, just like we pray words. Sometimes we read words. But let's go back and focus just a minute. Keep your finger here and go back, if you would, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1, notice if you would in verse number 16. He says, Paul says, for I am not, now remember, he's preaching to Rome. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, what is the gospel of Christ? We know in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it is a death, burial, and resurrection of Christ according to the scriptures. Now, Paul did not have an easy time preaching. If you go through the book of Acts, you'll find several things. When he preached at Philippi in chapter 16 of Acts, he was in prison. When he preached at Berea in Acts chapter 17, he was chased out of there in verse number 10. When he was preached in Berea, he was smuggled out. And then when he preached at Athens, he was mocked, according to Acts 17. In Galatia, he was called a fool. And then he was stoned another place when he preached at Lystra. And so it was not easier for Paul to preach. Now, some people think that the thorn in the flesh that he had, I've heard several people give their idea of that, but I would assume that it was probably injuries. It may have been deformities. It may have been other things where he was stoned and left for dead. I mean, a man is not stoned to death or at the point of death that does not leave marks and scars on your body. And can you imagine Paul going around all the world preaching the gospel and having physical limitations on how to, as he went along, aches and pains. Sometimes we get up in the morning and say, oh, I hurt so bad. I say we don't even begin to know the pain that Paul endured. Now, you got to remember this, too. In Rome at this time was not an easy time to be called a Christian. Now, if you notice here, Paul said, the brethren salute you chiefly. The word chiefly means that there is a group here that exceptionally wants to say thank you. They were saying thank you to the church of Philippi for sending a missionary to preach the gospel that they were saved. Now, when you go back and you study this, the household of Caesar, it was a very tough time in Rome to be a Christian during this time. There was a man by the name of Nero. He was a fifth in the line of Caesars. Nero people accused him of being mad, insane. What they would do is they would try to keep their bloodline just among their own family, to keep it a bloodline of God's. And what happened is many times they would cause insanity among their own siblings or among their own children. And so what would happen was Nero, he was a man that knew no limitations to his aggression upon people. I mean, he killed people. His mother, he lost his father at age 3. His mother married and then poisoned a guy at age 10. And then married Claudius and then poisoned him, supposedly. And then supposedly her or Nero I supported his poisoned his stepbrother at age 16 so that he could take the throne. And he was not wanting to give the throne up for nothing. As a matter of fact, later on, his mother helped him there, and yet he killed his mother. He killed his wife. I mean, he had no mercy. He had no conscience in killing. He is known, and his name is known as being evil. He was so wicked. You hear about Nero fiddling while Rome burned. Well, it's during his reign that Rome burned. Some people believe that he burnt Rome. And then he built it back up, but he blamed it on the Christians burning Rome, and they began to persecute the Christians. And the Christians were persecuted mercilessly whenever Nero was in charge. He had to confess Jesus meant death or life imprisonment. Now picture this a minute. You're sitting here in a free country, able to come and sit in this church and hear this message this morning. If I was in Rome, my life would have been threatened to come and try to gather to preach this message to you, and your life would have been threatened, and you would have been killed had you been caught hearing this message and had you been caught receiving this message. You've been took down to a Colosseum, and you've been set in front of the whole Colosseum of people, and you would have to say, Jesus is Lord, Caesar is Lord. And if you did not say Caesar was Lord, they would take and skin your children alive right in front of you. They would turn the wild animals upon your children. They would burn you at the stake. They'd do all kinds of things, all kinds of persecution without any mercy. And so when the people at Caesar's household, they said, chiefly, they want to tell you, Paul, and they want to tell the Philippian church, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because it was a wicked, immoral place. It was one where when you preach the gospel and preach the righteousness and repentance and so forth, it was a message hated by Nero and all of Rome. And Paul come in there preaching, being supported by the Philippian church. And so the people of Caesar's household said, please tell them how much we appreciate them sending somebody to preach the gospel to us. Sometimes what we have, folks, is we have a tendency to read and not to think. Look, if you would, back in your Bibles a moment. The Jews were thought of being less. And so here Paul went to preach at Rome. And notice what he says in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now notice, if you would, that Paul, he went preaching this gospel. This gospel was important. Through this gospel is the only place that you have power, the energy that causes people to get saved. Somebody said, well, preacher, what can we do to attract the world's attention? It does no good if we sway away from the gospel. We still are commissioned to preach the gospel. Nowhere in the Bible God has chose the preaching of the gospel to save those which believe. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to those that believe, it's the power of God and salvation. We need to keep preaching the cross. When you meet somebody on the street and they tell you, they say, I need some help. Tell them Jesus died for you. Jesus is your only hope. Somebody said, well, preacher, people's heard that. They've grown dull of hearing it. That's the only hope we have. It is still the primary purpose of this church. We are to preach the gospel. Now, notice here that this gospel has a singular purpose: to see people saved. That's the whole purpose. I have people come and they say, preacher, my daughter is going through this, and they're going, would you talk to them? I said, they need Jesus. That's their hope. You have somebody find Jesus, it changes their lives. I tell people all the time, they talk about AA and going to these things. I said, it takes one step. God has the power of God. He has the power of God to help us in those times. But now notice this, it's all through the person of Jesus that we believe. And therefore we are promised salvation. But notice, if you would, in chapter 10 of Romans. We go there, and a lot of times we flip through there, and we come up on this, and somebody said, well, I'm going to take them down the Romans road. Well, that sounds good. But sometimes when we read a verse, like verse number 9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth and righteous, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, listen to me a minute. Think about this. We say, believe, confess. Sometimes people say, well, I'm too ashamed to come step out and confess Jesus in front of this crowd. What if confessing him meant death if you got caught? These people of Caesar's household would have been killed. They would have spent the rest of their life in prison. When they had to confess the Lord, it meant something. How would you feel if they took your boy and said, okay, we're going to burn him? No, we're going to toss him in a burning oil. Now, you either say Caesar is Lord. If you say Jesus is Lord, he gets dropped. Now, think about that.
And these people of Caesar's household said, tell the Philippian church how much we love them for making it possible that we were able to hear the gospel. Everybody in this church that is saved, somebody sacrificed to make the gospel possible for you. Without the gospel, you could not be saved. Somebody's responsible. You say, well, I was saved over in the church over there. Well, somebody got the gospel to that preacher that preached to you. Sometimes we don't think. And sometimes somebody says, well, we just live in our own little world. We won't worry about everybody else. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But our chief job is to get the gospel out, to support missionaries that has gone out abroad. Now, some has known. Brother Eric there, he understands. Well, he's been out there. He understands what it's like on a foreign field. I've been in foreign fields. Whole different world, isn't it, brother? Whole different world. I had the privilege of preaching to people that had never heard the gospel. I preached for a week and saw 139 saved. I got to go down into lower parts of Panama and San Felix River, and I got to baptize 39. And the chief told me, he said, you're the only white man I've ever allowed to baptize any of my people. And what a privilege it was to see people that had never heard the gospel. And some of these people, they heard we were going to have a meeting. And look here, you're sitting on a soft pew, sitting for an hour or two. We made stones and logs for seats. They sat for 12 hours a day. We broke one time a day, and we ate a bowl of rice and drunk a glass of coffee. I preach four times a day, 2.5 hours apiece. The chief said, don't preach under 2 hours. We like for you at least preach 2 hours. I said, I need to take you back home and teach my people something. I would preach 10 to 11 hours a day. And those people would sit on rocks. More than that, Brother Rick, they walked for 3 to 4 days and nights to get there, just to come to hear the gospel. And the chief told me, he said, don't try to stir emotions up in my people. My people are not emotional people. I just preached the gospel. And those people began to get up off them rocks and those logs and come down and fall upon the altar and cry out to God and get saved. The chief said, I've never seen anything like that. I said, that's the power of the gospel. I said, you don't have to stir emotions. You preach the gospel, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And I said, that is our commission to preach. And every one of you have been saved because somebody cared enough to bring the gospel to you. And we cannot forget in our last days, and I really believe we're living in the latter days of the last days. I believe Jesus is coming. But whether when or how, I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I do know this. We're not seeing near hardly anybody saved anymore. But the church has lost their objective, their priority. Who has responsibility to preach the gospel? You do. You do. You do. You do. You do. You do. You say, I'm not a preacher. We are to preach the people we meet. We need to share the gospel. And these people at Caesar's household, when we read, thou shalt confess with thy mouth, oh, no problem.
Boy, it was a problem for them. It was not easy. And so here they were. They said, told Paul, they said, all the brethren said, tell the church of Philippi, we salute you for sending money and helping send somebody to preach to us. And those people of Caesar's house said, whoa, chiefly, more than anything else, we want you to know just how desperate and how important it is to let them know how much we appreciate that they sent you here to preach. And Paul was full of joy, sitting in a prison waiting for his head to be chopped off. And sometimes we moan because someone passes an offering plate twice. Or sometimes we complain because someone asks you to go and make a visit. We need to understand the importance of missions. In Christmas time, if you understand anything about what Jesus and who he really was, the whole key is that he came to save us, and through the church that he has built, we are to take a gospel, and it is our commission to take the gospel to every creature that lives and preach the gospel. Some will not hear. I've had people tell me, they said, preacher, tell me something. If God is no respecter of persons, how about these heathens over here that's never heard the gospel? How can it be fair if God lets them die in their sins? You know what happened with them? There were three boys and their wives come off of a boat. They were all three the sons of Noah. Through those three sons of Noah, you go Genesis chapter 10, 11, they divided up and they went and they formed all these different countries. Every one of them knew the gospel. Every one of them knew the truth. Somebody failed them. The sins of their daddy was passed on to them. And they got farther and farther away. And let me tell you something. If the Lord holds back his coming, I'll use you. You sitting here close. I'll pick on you today, Jesse. If you quit church, he's going to be affected. Then his children's going to be affected. And who knows what your great-grandchildren's going to be. When the Bible and the gospel and church means nothing to them. You go and you knock on the door and you say, love to see you come to church. I don't need that. You know what they're telling you? The sins of their fathers are being visited upon them. Somebody let them down. Somebody failed to bring them to hear the truth. Now, if they come and they reject the gospel, between them and God. But our job is to come and preach the gospel. And so this morning, sometimes at Christmas time, we get all caught up in the baby. And there's nothing wrong with the baby, but you need to see the baby for who and what his purpose was. And you need to see him go all the way to the cross and go down into the grave and come up out of the grave and ascend into the Father. Then we are to take that message to a lost and dying world that is still at the forefront above Christian schools, above singing, above everything else that this church does. And all those things are good. Above all those things is preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. And if a person's not saved, I don't care anything else that got going on in their life. Above all things, they need a gospel. And a gospel that's able to change their life. And I'm going to tell you, I'll say this and I'll close. But I'll never forget when I departed from Panama. I left there with those Indians, and many of them come and they asked permission to hug my neck from the chief, and he gave them permission to hug my neck. And I left there and I went up and a guy asked me to come preach at the northern part of Panama.
And I went and preached there, and they had 700 people in attendance. Only about 30 people was above 30 years old. The rest of them was all young people. He told me, he said, come on up. We'll buy you an airline ticket. You won't have to ride that bus for 17 hours. They took up an offering that night, 700 people, $44.39. My plane ticket was $250. I told Chris, I said, get ready for a credit card charge because it's coming at you. But the point of being is that service, I went up there and the preacher said, now preach 2 or 3 hours. Our service lasted 4.5 hours. Over 400 people was on the altar that night. And I thought, man, have we lost our priority here? We have lost our vision. And people are perishing. Our rulers are wicked and evil because people has lost the vision of what the church is about. And so this Christmas, remember people like those of Caesar's household. Man, they were so glad somebody come and preach the gospel that saved them. Otherwise, they would have been caught up in all that immorality, all that sexual worship. They'd just been caught up with the flow. And you know the most wonderful thing about Jesus? He came to seek and to save the lost, the sick, the depraved. That's the ones he wants and he invites. Those that have no need of physician, they won't listen. But those that are sinners, that's who he come to save, amen, just like us. Let's stand this. Maybe this morning you're here and you're not saved. Wouldn't it be terrible to be living in a country like this and die in your sins? And all the opportunities you've had to heard the gospel? And those of us who are able to go and give and do the things, Paul said, remember, you'll have some fruit. There'll be some fruit coming to your way. God will bless you for what you've done. Amen. Let's not lose our vision. Amen. Let's sing. How about... How about this morning? Maybe God is still in your heart. You need to come. Would you come this morning?
We'd love to be part of your church.
Well, amen. Amen. You, we,